Yo, the Good and Bad Podcast Show. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Jeff Malice Etienne. You will see, well, you know, making it good, doing the professional way is Jeff Etienne, but I'm also known as the gift and the cursed one. If y'all hear children in the background, that's the life of, you know, married couple with children. Gotta work around them. But anyways, I'm here with my brother, Kenel, and his wife, my sister-in-law, Joanne. It's not Joanne. Don't get that confused. It's Joanne.
It's a Kenel.
All right?
It's not Kenel. It's a Kenel.
In this episode, I figured I'd do something a little different. You know what I mean? I had somebody ask me and say, hey, why don't you do one on, you know, on marriage? You know, interview a married couple. And I was like, you know what? I have the perfect people to do it. Okay. Yep. That's my niece in the background. Anyways, first and foremost.
She's trying to break the door. Gimme.
So, first and foremost, I have a list of questions for y'all. All right. Any questions that you don't want to ask, just say, next question. All right. So, first question. How long have you two been together? How long did you date for? And how long were you engaged? So.
Go, Canal.
I'm only here so I don't get fined. It feels like 10 years.
It feels like 10 years.
I think it's been about like 10 years, right? We've been together? Been married for six, going on six, in November.
You don't remember exactly when you met me?
Yeah, I remember we met in August 7th, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know the year.
2010.
So yeah, it's been 10 years.
Okay, so hold on, you guys met in...
Yeah, yeah,
almost 10 years.
I'm
yeah.
Nice.
Almost 10 years.
I'm nice.
So you met August 7th. Where did you guys meet?
We met at...
Carson Beach.
Yeah, Carson Beach.
But you,
it wasn't actual beach though, because we black, we don't do beaches. But it was a Greek barbecue. She was there and I was there.
For all of you who don't know what you mean when they say Greek barbecue, it's my brother's in a fraternity, black fraternity, and my sister. What, say it again?
Phi Beta Sigma.
And my sister-in-law here, well, no, sister here, is in a sorority. What's your sorority?
Sigma Gamma Rho. All
right, and. Now, Phi Beta Sigma and Sigma Gamma Rho, are you...
No.
Is it... No?
No, they're not.
What's the word I'm looking for? Like, usually fraternities have...
Sisters.
Yeah, but Sigmas are the only ones that have a constitutionally... Yeah.
Which like is Zeta Phi Beta.
Oh, okay.
Like, no organization has a sister sorority. They may call them their sisters, but they're not.
They're not really.
They might have special relationships. So, like... Yeah. For Sigma Gamma Rho, we have a relationship with Kappa Alpha Psi because both of our organizations were founded in Indiana.
Okay. Aren't the Kappas known as the pretty boys?
Yeah.
All red.
So it's always like, hey, Indy.
Oh, okay.
But for them, they're the only organization. Phi Beta Sigma is the only organization with a sister organization, Zeta Phi Beta.
Okay, so yeah, I met there. Now, it was a... You said it was a Greek barbecue.
Like a picnic, yeah.
All right. Actually, you know what? I want to hear the story. So what was it like? You know, when I say I want to hear the story, like, Kenna, were you just sitting there chilling? You looked up, saw her, and was just like, oh, yo, I need to talk to her.
No, not at all.
Let me get Aya. Go ahead.
Personally speaking, I didn't even want to be there at the barbecue because at the time, that was when Lewis, I got killed.
Who's
Uncle Big Lou. Jeff.
Big Lou.
Oh, yeah, Big Lou from Chelsea.
Yeah, I got killed, I think, like a day or two before. So I was still kind of, like, grieving.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to go, but last minute,
Mama.
One of my frat brothers convinced me to go over there. So I went over there. Like, I think I got there maybe 20 minutes before the whole thing ended. So I was kind of just hanging around, And one of my frat brothers, Bobby, was talking to her and to her friend. And I walked over there to see if he needed a ride home or whatever. And then me asking him if he needed a ride home, I ended up talking to her, Joanne, and her friend. And it was just like, you know, I wasn't even trying to holler. It was just like, you know, hey, what's up? Just, you know. For the first time in a long time, I wasn't really trying to holler at nobody. I just went over there just to say what up. And we kind of find out we share the same birthday month. Like her birthday is August 11th and mine is August 13th. And that is what kind of allowed us to actually have a conversation. But I think the thing that really like intrigued me about Joanne was Joanne. But when I met her, she was Joanne.
I was always Joanne. I was just letting these white people out here call me Joanne. Joanne, and tell me my name was Joanne. Joanne.
You should just put him out there with that.
Yeah, I'm going to.
But what intrigued me about her was that, like, no. I figured how the conversation. I think I asked her what she was doing for her birthday, and she was like, "Oh, I'm gonna be praying." Or something of that nature. You said you was gonna be praying.
Oh yeah, I was just trying to keep it low key. I was turning 21.
Yeah, right. You turned 21, and normally like 21 is like the big party.
That's when you go all
That's
out.
That's the big That's party like, birthday.
I get to drink. I get to go to the clubs.
Yeah, you get to ride out. You know what I'm saying? So I asked her what she was doing for her 21st birthday, and she was like, "Oh, I'm just gonna keep it low key. I think I'm gonna pray, and take a walk somewhere. I don't remember." And I was just like, "Pray." She's like, yeah, and you know, I'm a Christian, and so she made it, you know, well known that she was a Christian, first and foremost, and to me that was intriguing because I never met, you know, I think I was in a space where I was kind of in search of something at the time. I was looking, I wasn't yet a Christian, so I was kind of like looking, you know, Lou dying, and all that stuff kind of like had me in this space. So when she said she was a Christian, it was intriguing because I never met a young Christian, you know what I'm saying, who was just bold to be like, yeah, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Most Christians that I actually have reference from was like the older Haitian Christians, you know, like Ma, Pa, you know, Pastor Daniel's church. So it's like I never had any like understanding of what it could look like for young people. And she looked good. I was like, damn, I never met one. She was Haitian and she looked good. That was
That's
kind of...
That's a terrible statement.
No.
Unpack that.
No, I am. Let me unpack it.
Okay.
You know, for me, I never... Growing up in Chelsea, you just see mostly Latin people. Latinx, Latino, Latin people.
Yeah, Latin. No, but you know what, though? He's right, though. I mean...
So, like, it was very rare... You know what I'm saying? To find a Haitian girl who was attractive in Chelsea. You know what I'm saying?
True. It wasn't just Chelsea.
But also, let me say. Right. I also wasn't checking for the Haitians around because I was surrounded by, you know, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and Salvadorians, you know, Central Americans, Mexicans, like pretty much of the Latin culture. So that was what I was looking for, and that's what I, you know, caught my eye. It wasn't until I, you know, joined a fraternity where I started to see the beauty in black girls. And still, I wasn't really seeing many Haitians. So it was surprising to me. It was intriguing. And not to say that they didn't exist. It's just...
We didn't know. It's true, though.
I wasn't checking for them like that.
Because from, you know, where we were from, who we were surrounded by.
Right.
We didn't see, like, hot-looking Haitian women. We saw them on TV... magazines. That was pretty much it. TV and magazines.
But y'all went to a Haitian church.
Yeah, when they were,
and they weren't cute. They were not attractive. Let's be real. There was not cute.
They were like,
girls.
Says something.
that were your age.
That was like, they weren't cute. The ones
our age were being dressed by the older Haitians with go-go's in there and their hairs and. You know what I'm saying? Like.
But you know what?
That jump was
Haitian parents do that to young girls to try to keep you young forever. You know what I mean? Like, true. They just So you, they do your hair like that, you'd be in eighth grade. I remember it, like, being in eighth grade at Catholic school, and the girls would be, like, from, like, fourth grade, they'd have their skirts rolled up, you know, with the little uniform skirts rolled up, and like, doing all these different things to just look older. But it's like, as a Haitian girl, you'd come to school, used to be in eighth grade, with stuff in your hair, bulgogos, and you still got your hair braided and everything, and everybody else running around with
bulgogos for your audience.
Okay, so yes, say the word for them.
Bubbles. I think
almost like barrettes, but they were like the two balls at the end of it.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? In the hood, you just call it bubbles, like bubbles. The little they got the little balls at the end.
Yeah. So how long were you two engaged for? Before you got married?
A year?
Mm-hmm. Just about a little bit over a year. We got engaged September.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we got engaged September 2013 and got married 2014, November.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so it was, it was a little over a year.
About a year. I mean, that was always the plan, because at the end of the day, like, my understanding of, like, of relationships, once I became a Christian, later on, fast forward, I became a Christian, got saved. My understanding of marriage and my understanding of relationships was, you know, you don't date just to date. You date to be married. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was it. And for me, it was just about positioning myself to be able to be married and support a wife and a family. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and my other question.
Is that accurate, though?
What?
How we met?
I don't think there's anything in there that's missing from what you said.
Except how you touched my arm.
I did not touch your arm.
You did.
Let's rewind a little bit. All right. Who asked who out first?
So hold on.
Who asked for whose number?
So then you know what? Let me chime in some.
Let me tell you how you touched my arm. Got to that story?
Go for it. I'm going to correct it afterwards.
No correction needed. So this is when I was like heavy in the gym. You know what I'm saying? I was going 5 days a week, heavy, dieting, all that. So I was, you know, I was in great shape, in fact. So I had my shirt halfway on. One arm
I don't know.
I can't remember. Anyways,
your arm was exposed.
My arms was exposed. The guns was out. You know what I mean? And one of my arms, I have a lion on it, and with a crown on it. And she caressed my lion.
I did not.
She pet the lion. she pet the lion and asked me, what is it? Like, why do I have what's the lion tattoo for? And I told her I was a little. As a matter of fact, that's how we got into the conversation about the birthday.
So that's what I was going to jump in on.
Right. There you go. She prepped my lion.
I did not.
Y'all the Leos?
Yeah.
Leos, lions are signed. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your version?
Well, I was there. I actually wasn't a part of my sorority yet. I was there as an IOTA sweetheart. So IOTA, which is a fraternity, they have an auxiliary organization. And so I joined IOTA Sweethearts first, and I was there with other sweethearts and just kind of being around. But this friend of mine at the time actually went to school with one of the Sigmas. And so she was connected to, you know, some of his frat brothers. And so she was like, hey, come over here. I'm just going to go talk to a couple of these friends, and I want you to meet them. And at that same time, Canel walks over, because he was checking in on one of his frat brothers who we were talking to see if he needed a ride, because he was actually on his way out. I don't know if you already said that.
Yeah, I did.
So he was on his way out. So it just kind of became like a merge of like, hey, you know somebody, I know somebody, and we just kind of all ended up talking.
Yeah.
And so it was really supposed to be a brief interaction, but we I guess it was meant to be more, right? So
yeah.
He, we were talking. I'm trying to remember where it began, but just really small talk, and with that, I asked about the line. I asked about the line tattoo. He let me know he's a Leo. And that's where we went into, oh, I'm a Leo. Yeah. You know, so this is August 7th, right? So our birthdays are within that week.
Yeah,
so
it's not 4 days like, from now, his
yeah,
is 6.
You know, so yeah. Once he knew my birthday, that was that. And we kind of, he was like, oh, you know, for his birthday, he was going to do some sort of cookout or whatever here at the house. And I said, all right.
Well, not the frat house.
Huh?
The frat house.
Okay. And so He was like, yeah, you should come through. And I'm like, well, I'm a pescatarian. So unless you have, you know, a veggie burger or something, I'm not coming. And so he was like, yeah, we'll take care of that. We'll do all that. I'm like, okay, well.
I remember that cookout. Was that it? Was it?
No, we didn't have my birthday. But oh, you okay. Did go to one cookout.
Yeah.
So I guess it never happened because I never got the invite to that. But he, you know, we just kind of moved on from there. But as I was getting to know him and talk to him through that conversation, I learned that he had been involved with some like community planning events in Chelsea and like working with the youth and all of that stuff. And for me, I wanted to plan some similar events in Boston. And so I only exchanged numbers with him from a networking perspective. Just like, hey, you're doing something that's interesting that I want to be doing just in another city. So let's connect and we can talk more. But at the time, actually, I had just come out of dating somebody like 2 weeks prior. And so I was not in a place where I was interested in any way in getting into a relationship or even trying to start something up and talk to anybody. It was strictly business for me.
Yeah.
But now my birthday comes August 11th, 4 days later, and he texts me and he reaches out. And he's like, hey, you know, happy birthday. And then really one thing led to the next.
It was BBM, so, by the way. We had Blackberries.
Oh, yeah. BBM and each other. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
It was BBM. Oh, yeah. That's so true. Yeah. Yes. That's crazy.
That lets you know how far back. You're like, damn, it's been that long.
Yeah, that's crazy. That was relationship was built off of BBM.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Some relationships start on AIM. Joint,
yeah? So here's what I want to know. Did you pet the lion?
I did not pet the lion. I pointed to it and
did
said,
your finger touch my lion?
Why do you have that?
Did your finger touch
like,
my lion?
What is that?
Did your finger make
maybe
contact
my
with my
nail.
Arm? Did it touch my arm?
I don't think so.
You're lying. You are lying, yo.
I did not pet the lion.
She pet the lion. I'm the original Joe.
Did you hear what I just said? did not.
You definitely made contact with my heart. I was like, this girl is bold. Okay, you don't even know me. Got your hands on me. This is pre-COVID, so we were making contact.
Well,
listen, that's an interesting story. Even though y'all both have the same similar story, minus if the lion was pet or not.
It was pet. But I will say, too, that for myself, I wasn't looking for a relationship myself at the time. It really was strictly, for me, it was business, but more so, like, I was interested in finding out more about this Christianity thing. That's really what my thing was. I wasn't really looking for a relationship because...
And he was attracted.
Huh? And you were attracted.
You were attracted.
To you? Yeah, I was. But I wasn't looking to get involved.
To?
It was two tubes. Yeah, I wasn't looking to like get involved though. I really wasn't checking for that.
Yeah, no, I hear that.
And y'all already answered the question: how long y'all been married for? He said 6 years. You know what I mean?
Going on 6 years.
Which, listen, for all y'all who weren't there, which will be a lot of y'all, their wedding was.
I don't know if it was a lot. It was a lot of people there.
No, the people who were listening. For the people who were listening.
They might have been there too.
Listen.
There was a lot of people there.
There was a lot of people. It was in Mexico.
It was a lot for a destination wedding, but...
That had been the best wedding I've ever been to.
Really?
I swear to you, it was.
Thank you.
And,
me too.
And
I hope so.
first and foremost, it was in Mexico. It was on a resort. The resort was like all inclusive, so you didn't have to like pay for no drinks or like pay for no food. All our both family members were there, so the best part about that to me was I really got to meet, you know, majority of Joanne's family. You know what I mean? Her cousins, you know, her brothers. You know what I mean? Which at that time, I felt like, you know, I had really bonded with both her brothers. You know what I mean? Her mom, her pops, her father, which is like the coolest guy.
And you know, what? I mean? Actually, your dad's birthday was the first night that we were there.
Friday.
Yeah, we did a little thing.
Yeah.
Like, celebrated that. It was a good time.
It was good. We had family from everywhere. Florida, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Boston, Canada. And we just, everybody got along. We all mingled. We just had fun. We would dance.
Beach volleyball competition.
Dominoes. Yo, listen.
Patrick was in the pool acting crazy.
Patrick was a fool, man. Listen, the best way I could even.
Jojo was a fool.
Yeah, he was.
Patient dodgeball.
Throwing bricks. The best way for y'all to even experience it is it would have been like Michael Jordan's Last Dance, a 10-part documentary of the wedding. It was the best. It was the best time.
So I'll say, like, the reason why we did it, well, a number of reasons, but one of the reasons was, like, if we did it here in Boston locally, we knew that it would have been
like 500
people.
Yeah.
People weren't invited, just show up.
So that's why we try to, like, have, like, a natural filter by, like, saying destination, but people still showed out.
They really did. But then again, you know what? That was a wedding for the ages. All right?
Yeah, it was dope.
I don't care what anybody says. All right? You people who, you know, watched the royal wedding, that was nothing. Stop it. All right?
It was a good time, yo.
Real good time. So how did you two pick Mexico?
Michael got married.
That's our cousin.
Yeah, he got married. I forget how many years before.
I think like 2 years before.
Yeah,
it was.
It felt like something.
Yeah,
like that.
It was like I remember seeing the invite. Yeah, yeah.
And we said it to them there. We were like, "Wow, this was such a dope experience, right?" So if we get married, we're gonna do it in Mexico.
Okay, so
was that?
Well, we were debating between at the time actually, when we were looking at where to go, we wanted it to be cost effective. We wanted it to be a good time.
Yeah.
And obviously tropical. So we were looking at Mexico and we were looking at DR because. They're the two where you get the most bang for your buck.
True.
We didn't want to do Cancun if we did Mexico because Cancun's like
there's too much tourists like, and
yeah.
It's more like let's have fun.
It's more like college students, spring break.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to do that. So we did Riviera Maya. But we were debating between Mexico and DR and we were actually leaning towards DR, but then that's when, like, a lot was happening between Haitians and DR.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just, like, a lot of murders of Haitian people and, like, just stuff at the border and all of that. And we were like, no way we're going to DR.
That's right.
Haitians.
I forgot about that.
Like, we weren't going to do
it. You can't support a country that's, like...
slaying Haitians.
Yeah, yo. Oppressing our people, so...
Yeah. So, then it became Mexico. And it was a blast.
Yeah.
Is the marriage what you both expected it to be? Is it... you know what I mean?
That's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question.
I would say, for me, I don't think I had expectations of what marriage would be to Canel. Like, being married to him. I know some women, like, fantasize about, like, what their marriage would be like. Or even their wedding. Like, what dress they would wear, all that stuff. I'm more like, when I get there is when I'm thinking about it. Like, I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
Yeah, that's my...
Yeah, so like I didn't have this, like, imagery in my mind of what our marriage would be like. But I will say, if there are some things that are different than, like, what I would have initially thought, or would have... Hold on.
Go ahead.
Do you want to just walk through?
You walk through.
So that I would have, I think maybe initially either wanted, but that more so would have been based off of my parents' marriage. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's just based on the marriages that you see. And so, my parents are Haitian and also have a different life story than I do. So being immigrants and then getting married young and then moving and then figuring out kids very early on and life together.
Yeah.
Their marriage is different than what I knew I wanted in some ways. Like, it was very, I think now they're in a much healthier space later on in life, but growing up as a kid, it was just like, this is like a place of just like, they, it's very systematic. Like, everybody, yeah, everybody has a role. You know what I'm saying? Like, they do, they work the same 3 to 11. They never take a day off. There's no vacation. There's no, you know what I mean? There's no adventure and fun and thrill, but it's like, it's the routine of, you know, go to work, provide for your family. I like, I cannot, I maybe could remember my parents kissing once ever in front of me. And I'm not quite sure that's what I saw. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's a blur, you know? So just like, not super lovey-dovey, not super, you know, affectionate, not full of adventure. Now they take vacations, you know what I mean? They're at that point in their lives, and things have changed. I'm happy to see that. But I knew that I wanted, at least if I, like, in our marriage, I wanted, like, romance and adventure and all of that. And I think there's some of that, you know? There's some of that, you know, we're younger and we have a different life story, so we can take vacation together. We can, you know, we can do some stuff. We can do date nights.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
I know for me, I'll say like my reference for what a marriage. So, I mean, I'm not sure if I had any expectations. I just had like images of what marriages would look like. And a lot of it came from like TV. You know what I'm saying? So, I always wanted a relationship that like Martin and Gina had. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, true.
Very silly, like laughing and joking, like a lot of laughter, a lot of just like silliness and foolery. So that's what I always wanted, you know what I mean? So I guess going into marriage, it was that image along with my parents. You know, again, you're right about that systematic thing. It was the same thing here. They had that system going. That was the image I had. So it was a mixture of my parents and Martin and Gina. So yeah. But you know what they don't show you? I mean, I think again, the Martin show was episodes, so it's like the episode ends and a new episode begins, and whatever the case may be. So it's like you don't know what's going on in between the episodes. And I think that was like the marriage is built upon the in between the episodes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
And not the actual episodes. The episodes will give you like the highlights. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the in between the episodes, what's happening in between, is what really the marriage is built upon. And I had to learn that.
Yeah, I think honestly, even thinking about expectations, I really do think our context is probably framed by the fact that we had premarital counseling. You know what I mean? Like, when we got engaged, immediately we started with Pastor Ralph, who married us, premarital counseling. And so we had a lot of, like, we were basically doing a class on preparing for this and thinking about this stuff. So I think in some ways that probably curbed us going into it and being super shocked by some stuff.
Yeah.
Because we had already had some hard conversations a whole year going, leading up to getting married, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that we already knew the parts that might be sore spots or the parts that, you know, where we work well and it's seamless, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't say there were any like major surprises.
So premarital counseling is funny. We would have premarital counseling. We would go there and everything was cool. Yeah, I mean, we were talking, and then after premarital counseling, going home, those car rides home were very silent.
So silent.
Why? Really quiet. Why was that?
What? It was heavy. Yeah, or some stuff we just didn't see eye to eye. Like, it was just like...
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It'd be like... Okay. Ooh. Do I really...
And then you...
Yeah, see, like, you sitting there the whole ride. I'm talking about from Lynn all the way to Boston, right? I'm just, like, thinking, like, damn, do I really want to do this? Is this a good idea?
So it had y'all second guessing, in a way.
I mean, more so fact check. Like really... To give some thought to, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
You know, like, I really do think you should. You should premarital second guess.
Oh, yeah, true.
Not, you should not be second guessing on your wedding day.
Yeah.
But you should be thinking about it intentionally, rather, you know?
I think
not living in doubt of it, but more so like really asking yourself again, like, do I want to intentionally make this choice? Like, is this a choice I want to make? Because it's not a decision to make lightly. Both of us went into this, like, till death do us part, you know? And, like, really that, like, we're going into this and we're not looking at divorce.
So, here's a question. Not trying to get y'all in trouble or anything.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Do either of you ever feel bored with your marriage? And if so, what do y'all do to counteract that?
Over.
No.
No, of course you don't. Of course you don't. I'll say this. I get. I won't say bored, but we get into these routines sometimes, and it's just like, you know, go to work, pick up the kids, bring the kids home, feed the kids, get the kids ready for bed. And then by the time we get ready for bed, it's like we have just enough time for us to just spend time with each other and go to sleep. Or if we do spend time with each other, it's very minimal. You know what I'm saying? And that routine goes on and you're not paying attention to the time. It could be like weeks, months, and then years go by. You're kind of stuck in this routine. And you're not even realizing it. You know what I'm saying? And the marriage becomes about sustaining that routine, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you do just enough for you to be able to wake up and do it all over again. So I say getting into that, you know, that happens often, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's just realizing that this is happening and that we need to kind of shake it up a little bit somehow, some way. But talking about it, first recognizing it and then talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what have y'all done?
What, to get out of boredom?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on, sometimes it's simple things, right? Like sometimes it's like, yo, we just need a date night. And then other times it might literally be that, like, you know, I think there are two things, right? There are some smaller things like that where it's just like, oh, you know, you can get caught up in a routine and then realize, like, we haven't gone out. We haven't done anything different.
We haven't poured into our own marriage.
You're pouring into the kids, right? Yeah. And, I mean, it's easy to do that when they're so little. I don't expect to be doing that when I is 5, you know? But when you have, I mean, our youngest one is 1.5 years, you know? So it's just like they have a lot of needs, and everything that they need, you have to go help them with.
Yeah.
And so... I do think that there are some other things that are like, you can build a routine just because you got uncomfortable. And I think that's another thing too. And we were having this conversation, I think just last night, where it's just like, oh, it's been 6 years.
So you gonna edit this?
Sorry.
Nah, this is raw. We can just raw. All right.
I don't know if I like it. It's weird. It's very 80s.
What would you like him to do?
I don't know.
Tape it. If he tapes it, it probably looks better.
Taper it. Yeah, something.
It's at the end.
Yes. What do you think? Take a look in the mirror. You look at it?
Do you like it?
He said he liked it.
There's a mirror in the bathroom.
If you like it, you like it.
He likes it.
For all y'all who's wondering, like, what's going on? All right, so, you know, Joanne's son, Kenno's stepson, right? I'd be messing up on it. I'd be like, son-in-law. And I'd be messing up like that.
Not son-in-law.
No, stepson.
Son.
All right, but son. Just son. Son. We don't do the step. So Nemo's 11?
12.
Nemo's 12. He just got a lineup. So Joanne just isn't feeling it. She said,
The barbershop's been closed for like because of COVID. So he's been growing his hair out and he had no lineup. So he just now got a lineup by my cousin, JB. And I like it. He likes it. And Joanna don't like it.
You like it?
I'm fine with it.
He just looks very 80s. He looks like a Jackson 5.
Yeah, that's that.
That's not true.
That's that. It's a front. That's the look. I know. You know what I mean?
I mean, if you like it, don't. Never mind me, Neil.
Yeah, I like it. You like it? Oh. Bet.
Cool.
Okay, Eli, I don't know. I don't know why it's not working. Okay, let's put it away. So.
What do you think?
No, I think it's dope. It's not me. What I yeah, think. No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a so anyway, I think sometimes you can get caught up in just the routine and of like, oh, I know you already.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Very true.
So I think you can get comfortable with like and forget also that we're still evolving as people. Like I'm still growing, I'm still changing. So the person you met when I was, you know what I mean, 10 years ago is definitely different.
Oh, I like this conversation.
You know what I'm saying? The person you met 10 years ago has different needs and desires and aspirations. My visions might be broader and hopefully not smaller. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully my vision isn't smaller. And I think that's the other thing too. It's like the thing about being married is you then are kind of co-creating a vision together. Whereas when you first meet me, I can have all these plans and you can't interfere with them, right? Because true. You just... some dude I'm talking to, and then, you know, eventually we see where this is going.
Yeah.
But if I say I'm traveling to Australia, and I'm traveling to Australia, married, it's like, I might want to travel to Australia, but let's look at these funds together. Who's watching our kids if I go? You know, like, but there are different things. But even still, I'm still evolving as a person. I have different aspirations than what I had 10 years ago. I'm on a career path, and I might think about where my career might take me. And so I think it's important for us to, it's easy to also get caught up in some stuff and not really like be invested in like, hey, what are you actually teaching your students? Canel's a teacher, you know? Yeah. Like, hey, talk to, you know, we spend a lot of time at work. If I don't even know what's going on in your work life, then it's easy for us to just have separate worlds and just like be running errands and checking off the stuff that we got to get done through the day.
Become roommates.
And we become roommates. That's the part. I think that's actually literally something we say all the time. Like, yo, you know, I feel like you've kind of become my roommate. We got to really tap into this. So those are the signs. And usually the signs are like, okay, something's going wrong. Right? So it's like, we've become roommates, or like, it's like we're falling asleep and not actually spending time together. Like when I say time, like really just like being able to keep things fresh, keep things fun, keep things going.
Yeah.
And yeah, once we realize it, then it's just exactly what we realize. You just correct.
So I think that right there would answer the next question, which the next question was, what is your both of you secret to making marriage work for a lifetime? And I think, you know, y'all pretty much answered that. With
I don't know if that's I don't even have a secret, and I really couldn't answer that because we've only been together for 6 years. Married for 6 years. So it's like
that's more for like people who've been married, like
yeah. Talk to me when I hit 25.
Yeah, man,
married.
We hit like yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we can have a conversation because I'm still this those things I'm learning to this day about making the marriage work.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like she said, you know, who we were 10 years ago is not who we are now. You know what I'm saying?
True.
And that evolution is what kind of like, the evolution could either bring y'all together or separate y'all.
And if you let it.
If you let it, right. So you got to work hard to evolve together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. It's that. How do you evolve together? How do I include you in my evolution? Or how do we make both our evolution
work
combine together or work together?
You know, not snuff out the other person. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It can't be in contrast. It can't be in contradiction to the other person. It's how do we make that happen? And I think that understanding really helps.
And I also think that with that, right, like it would be nice to believe that growing means that, like, oh, you're just going to naturally grow together if you work at it. I think that you can work really hard and still have like different desires and visions that are like really important to you that might actually pull you apart in some ways. But in those cases, I think that the secret, if we're talking about a secret to a long-lasting marriage, is in those cases is like really putting in the work to like communicate about that consistently, lovingly over time, like really thinking about what it is, what are these aspirations, right? Or these like major goals, or you know, like let's say if I'm like, yo, I feel like my dream job is in Chicago, and Canelle's like, I'm not trying to move to Chicago, you know. And for us to really like have real and like consistent conversations about that. But I think that some of it is just recognizing that compromise has to happen.
Yeah.
If you're gonna decide to be together, somebody has to give. You know? And it's not even, and when that other person gives, like love them for it, appreciate them for it. I don't think that there should be like, you gotta keep at bay the unhealthy stuff. So like guilt, or you know, feeling like, you know, you owe somebody. You know, like we're in this together, so it shouldn't be like, oh, you did this for me, I do this for you. But rather than like, this is how we move together, and it's a give and take, and it is not 50-50. Give and take is not 50-50. I do think that in some cases, you know, in no case should it be like one person is always giving and the other person's not. But you know, depending on the circumstance, it could be an 80-20, and that should shift over time. There's a lot going on in this podcast.
Oh man, I need my own studio.
It's a full house. It's a full house.
Yeah.
It's a Haitian house.
Is the kitchen available?
The kitchen. It is available.
Yeah.
It is available. Yeah, we move. No, we're gonna move to the kitchen, cause. Oh man! All right, we're moving to the kitchen, cause my mom decides she wants to blast her television.
Where's your Maya?
We lost him.
He's upstairs. Oh.
Right here.
Yeah, put it. Yeah, put it. Put it right here.
Did you see that?
Hey, even if she did. She with her, it's like, yeah, I'm watching my stuff. Yeah.
This is my house.
Yo, she does that. She listens to, yo, that's how she listens to it. That's how loud she listens to
that's
it.
That's crazy.
I'd be downstairs, it'd be like 7 in the morning. I'd be sleeping. I'd just wake up like, oh, really? So, the next question I had.
Oh, hold on, I do.
Oh, my fault. Go ahead. Add. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Add.
I think the thing that I learned, for me as a man, for marriage and a relationship, I can't say it's a secret sauce, but it's definitely worked for me. Is the word consideration, right? How can you be considerate to your spouse, to your partner? Because I think naturally. And I can't speak for all men, but I'll just say, like, for most men, oftentimes we don't really consider the other person, we consider our feelings, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And a woman wants to know that she's being considered, right?
True.
So understanding that and, you know, doing that is what I think has helped me in this marriage.
I agree.
How do you two deal with difficult times?
Deal with it differently. Go ahead.
It's perfect
together, you know what I mean? Or
just in, whether it's differently together. However, whatever.
I know for me, I'm one to not just like, I won't talk. I go in my own head, my own space.
Yeah, that's me. That's how I am.
Yo, I'll literally like. Walk by you. I'll walk by her and not say nothing. So like when things like when I'm upset or something, whatever, I go into straight silent mode. And
I feel like you've gotten better though. You don't do
I have.
Like the other day, you started the conversation.
That's not consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? But for the most part, my natural state is to just like retreat inside. Yeah.
See, me, I'm an external processor. So I need to
talk about it.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
But literally, once I talk about it, I can let it go. I won't bring it back up. I won't hold it over you. I won't, you know what I'm saying? It's not festering in me. But if I don't talk about it, it's like you're just killing me from the inside slowly. You know what I mean? Like, and it just drives me crazy. It hurts. It's like you got the knife in, you're twisting it, it's stomping me out, I'm dying. Like, yeah. It hurts, you know? And so I've had to communicate that to him, like, listen, like, just talk it out, you know? Yeah, so, but I think that was, those are issues that we had earlier on in our marriage. Year one was hard. And yeah. it was a lot of this, you know?
Yeah.
But I think at this point, if I were to answer that, like, present day, I think we just know each other. Like, I know pretty much sex is going to work, so I use it.
That's real. Word up.
Open up.
Let's have sex. Like, yo, I'm sorry. I'm such a jerk. I don't know why I be doing the things I be doing. Love you.
That's real right there.
You just gotta know it works and use it.
Now, so going off of that, right, was there ever a time where it was like, you know, there was a difficult time, a conflict, and you knew, all right, Ken, I was just gonna go into his own little world, he's gonna do the whole, he's gonna ignore me, walk by me, I don't want that to happen, so have you tried, like, you know what, I'm gonna start talking to him, and he just, I don't want to talk about it. Or does he, once you start talking to him, he will talk back?
No, this time when, like, she'll talk and I'll just listen. You know what I'm saying? And I think before she would get upset that I'm not responding or giving her what she is asking for. But then I think she realized later on that I might need a day or two to process and then I'll come around to it. But then for me, I realized that in those days or two that she's giving me, things aren't getting any better. You know what I'm saying? And it's just...
Or I'll be waiting for him to at least, like, tell me you need a day or two. Really, what needed to change was, like, he needed time, but he never told me he needed time. It would just be silence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So how much time do you need?
Like, a week. I go into my monk stage.
No, it's not. It has not been silence. That bad. It hasn't been that bad. But it'd just be like,
a monk.
To me, it'd be like, yo, how much time do you need? You know?
Yeah.
But even if you needed a week, then just tell me that. But after that week is over, you need to open up the conversation. Because I shouldn't be the one coming to, you know? Not that I even shouldn't be. Like, I will try, but you're not opening up. So, he doesn't do that. He didn't do that.
Not no more.
Yeah.
It's very passive aggressive. It wasn't fair. You know what I'm saying? I'll admit to that. Like, what I was doing. Part of me knew. Part of me was me processing, but a part of me was like, nah, I'm upset. And I'm going to make her upset by doing this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like, she used to cook food. I'm like, here's the food. Do you like it? I'm like, hmm.
that's a dangerous thing.
The grunt and the groan.
Don't even make eye contact. But it was very passive aggressive.
So was there ever a time that, you know, you had to turn to somebody else for a issue or problem that you two couldn't resolve on your own? Like, for instance, was there a time that, you know what, let's go to Pastor Ralph?
Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah, the first year.
Yep.
Matter of fact, it was Easter.
I don't know. It was one of those holidays.
It was a holiday.
We got into a beef, and what did I do? I yelled at you?
You threw something at me.
I threw a pen at you.
You threw something at me.
Yeah. I threw a pen at him. He was gone. I was so sad.
No. So listen. I don't even know what the... How do you know what the...
It was a pen.
But I don't know what the argument was. At all, you know, usually an argument start off something small, and then early on it'll be like something very small.
It snowballs.
It was not even snowball. It was that, like, because
it just escalated quickly. I'm aggressive.
Very, very quickly.
I'm aggressive. Canelle's passive aggressive, and that makes me more aggressive.
Yeah.
Escalate, but it was like a. I think it was just a just a culmination of everything. You know what I'm saying? It may, that may not be the problem that's causing all of this friction. It may be a culmination of everything that we haven't really discussed or we're holding on to, whatever, now showing itself through this one little problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, yo, I'm telling you, our first year, it was just, it would go from 0 to 60 real quick. And she threw a pen at me. Her aim sucks. She was way off.
Really? But I thought I hit you.
No, no. You missed. But the audacity, I'm like.
Yeah, I was about to say. For some reason, you sometimes that's worse. Like, somebody throws something, they miss you, but you're like, you really threw something at me?
I could have, like, caught that pen mid-air, caught it, and, like, flung it back at her. And have it stick in her chest. You know what I mean? But no, I was on my way out of the door. Cause we had to go pick up. I had to go pick up my parents. Cause we were doing something, but we had the parents get together and have dinner at her parents' house. So yeah. I was leaving, and she threw the pen at me and missed. So then I went and picked up the parents, and I wasn't gonna go back home. I was gonna sleep here.
Yeah.
My plan was to sleep here. And she called Pastor Ralph. And he called me like, yo, you gotta go home. Like, you can't sleep out. Like, that's not, no, you have to go home. I was like, all right, Pastor, I'll go home. But I ain't sleeping in the bed. So I went home, sat on the couch. I mean, and that went on for like a couple of days. I was sleeping on the couch for a couple of days.
Really? From that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I do. Cause I was sleeping on the couch.
I'm sure. I believe you.
You wouldn't remember. You were sleeping comfortable.
You were comfortable. You were comfortable. She was dreaming pretty. And I was like, yo, tossing and turning.
That was a comfortable couch.
The first year, now it's trash. These kids.
So what helps you, what helps you guys, like, when y'all mad at each other? What helps y'all, like, you know, love each other?
Sex.
True. That's real.
I mean, yeah.
A lot of married couples say that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a tool.
Yeah,
it is a tool.
I think go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I think we learned early on that that's like a strength. Like that's an area where, like, if you have one good thing going for you, just hold on to that. Like, it's kind of like the idea of, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses. Like, you could spend a lot of time working on your weaknesses, or you could just, like, really focus in on that strength, and, like, that'll be the one thing that keeps things okay, you know? And simultaneously use your strengths to build your weaknesses.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. So it's like, if things are so bad, sometimes it's like, it's hard to look at what's good, but if you got that one thing, use it to open that door for the other stuff.
But I also feel like, I think the sex is, I don't want to get, like, too philosophical.
It's communication.
But it's just, there's a disconnect, right? If you think about it, like, there's a disconnect in the relationship, and sex allows us to really reconnect physically and emotionally, you know what I mean? Right, and you become one again. And I think that is what it is. It's just like, oftentimes, when couples fight and when couples argue, they're not realizing that there's this... It's a symptom of a larger problem. If not that particular argument or that particular issue, there's a larger problem that needs to, you know, be, that's manifesting itself through that small issue. And I think sex helps you kind of reconnect with one another spiritually, physically, emotionally, and all that.
I will say this,
though.
And
then we go from there.
I will say this. Even in thinking about sex, like, I...
How do you have angry sex? Do you have angry sex?
I think...
I've had angry sex.
Yeah.
No, I've had angry sex. Right, you can start angry, but do you end angry?
Nah.
Okay, so I'm saying, like, so it's like, you could be angry, but like, yo, I'm gonna do it, but I ain't gonna enjoy it. And then, by the end of it, you're like...
So, okay.
Like, baby, you want some juice?
I'm about to cook.
But you know what? I honestly think that's a guy's perspective. I was going to add, and that's funny that she said that. Because I do think that from a female's perspective, at least for me, I could go in hurt and still be at the end of the day hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's not like sex for me that might not have healed the situation. I still need that processing. I still need you to come and talk to me.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yep.
I might use it in the sense of like, I know, like, I like literally the word says, like, don't withhold sex from each other unless y'all are both like fasting. You know what I mean? Like, y'all, you have both agreed, like, y'all, we're going to take a break from this to pray for some time, and, like, this is what we're doing for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, don't sit here and, like, withhold sex. And so, for me, and I think I would say for women in general, like, it helps to have romance. When you're beefing, it's not romantic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not feeling you. You know? But... somebody has to give. You know what I mean? Like, if he sticks to his post and I stick to mine, then, like, it's not going to work. So what I really will say, what brings us back together, at least for me, the trigger...
I'm saying I got 60 minutes. That's all right. We good.
The trigger is to, for me, is to just, like, go and pray about it. You know what I mean? And to be like, God, help humble me. Help humble my heart. Like, soften my heart so I can go and do this. You know?
Yeah.
I've legit had to pray for that. Like, help me go and open this door because I may not be feeling it.
Yeah, I've never initiated sex when we was arguing.
No, right? You don't. It's always
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Because I know it's the way in.
Yeah.
You know? Again, it's my tool.
I told you I've become a monk.
Yep.
Yeah, you can talk.
No. I'm like, you and him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll initiate it. When I'm mad, I sit back.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't even say nothing. I don't say nothing. I'll see a walk by, so come in, I don't say nothing.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like that, too.
But then again, when I'm like, you know what, I think it's time. My time's over now. Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll initiate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're back to normal again.
Mm-hmm. Somebody has to.
Yeah.
True.
Somebody has to. Canel stubborn.
Yeah, man. I'm too stubborn. And, yeah, it's foolish pride, to be quite honest. I'm into that. It's very foolish pride.
I mean, I do very know. Stubborn. Like, what I will say is, there was one relationship that I was in, and that's how we resolved our, like, the fighting. But technically, it never really... the one mistake that we both made was we wouldn't talk about it. We'd be mad at each other. We'd have... You know, we'd have sex, but, and then we'd be all happy, you know, lovey-dove, kissing each other, but we didn't resolve anything. We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about the, you know, the issue at hand. So what that did was just sit in the back of our heads, and it just kept festering up until one day neither one of us could take it, and it blew up where sex couldn't resolve it. So now we're at each other's throats, and now we, and it was, you know what, we should have had been talking about this. Like, she'd bring up stuff that happened months ago. Like, why are you bringing that up now? We never resolved it. You know what I mean? So you know, for people who are listening, they're not saying, like, resolve the issue by just having sex and that's it. It's more of a conversation starter.
It's a gateway.
Yeah, yeah.
The gateway. There
but
you
at,
go.
At least in my marriage, you know what I'm saying? It's, yeah. it's a starter, but I think people have to know, yeah, like, what's that in? You know what I mean? If it's for some women, it's like, if you come home with flowers, that might be the end, you know?
Yeah.
And that's going to start a conversation. Like, and so for me, my end would be romance, you know what I
mean?
I
think I did
so
that one time.
You did?
Yeah, I left a car for you.
Yep.
On the headboard.
On the headboard and some flowers.
Yeah.
And that is an end, you know what I mean? Like, so you just have to know what it is.
So what happens when you do all that and nothing works no more?
Well, I think that... It depends. I mean, when I hear that, I'm thinking that then the issue's so big that you need to, it's not just like one in, you need to keep having more conversations. Like, you need to start something and then you got to keep it going, you know? Like, you got to be persistent. The amount of, I gave this analogy to Nehemiah, right? Because he's I'm not going to get into parenting anyway, but...
That's another podcast. We'll do another one on that.
But anyway, like, it could, you know, if you have a pile of, you know, dirt out there. For us, I mean, my analogy that I'm always using is our house, because we had construction, a lot of construction. And so the whole yard outside was just a dump site. You know what I mean? Like, literally took the whole tub and threw it out, you know? And so you have porcelain everywhere, you know? You have you got sink everywhere. You got tile everywhere. You got
old pipes.
You got all the stuff just, like, in the dirt, you know? Bricks and, like, and what you... When a mess is so big, you're not going to clean it all out at once.
True.
Like, you actually just can't. Like, we're still cleaning it out.
You got to do a little, like, do a little still, by little, section by section.
Well, not even section. Yeah, like, you just... It's just too much. There's no way it's all going to get done the first time you go and roll up your sleeves to go out there.
Yeah.
So the mess is so big and it's been there for so long, it's going to take you some time to clean it up.
True.
And right now, it might hit a point where it's clean and you can go back out there and you can stand around. Like, we hit a point where we could stand out there, but we weren't going to let the kids play outside because... You know, they're young, so they might find a piece of a tile or something